Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Congratulations on waking up early. Hallelujah. I guess at this day and age, we just have it on our phone, don't we? Do you remember the day when we used to have to set the clocks ourselves? Hallelujah. My name is David Fleming from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, originally, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, all right. Wonderful. Wonderful. I know we got a baseline crew here from West Virginia. Wonderful. A little bit of Steeler fans. Pittsburgh, home of the six-time Super Bowl. Oh, we forget that. I digress. Hallelujah. That usually goes over really big, or sometimes it doesn't go over big. I was preaching in Cleveland a few weeks ago, so I kind of laid low a little bit. I'm a traveling minister, travel all over the country. Love what I'm doing. I've been doing this for a couple of decades now. I'm actually here this time with my family. My family's joining me this weekend. I know they're not here like physically. I think they're either on their way or they're out there in the hallway. I got a wife and two boys. The most amazing wife. Been married now, coming up on 12 years. It's been the best 12 years of my life. I've been tracking online. You guys just came through your home building series. Just last month there. You know, the verse in Scripture says, he who finds a wife, do you know this verse? He who finds a wife finds a good thing, finds good, and obtains favor from the Lord. Right. Hallelujah. God is in the business of good marriages, strong marriages. Right. You know, I say it this way, God, I believe God is the biggest romantic in the universe. This was his idea. And he's the one that brings people together. He likes good families, good, strong families. And so my two boys are here with me also. I enjoy traveling with them. They are 8 and 6 years old. One of them is Big Bear, and the other one is Big A. Got a little nickname for him, Big Bear. I don't know. It's just, you know, the day we brought him home from the hospital, just started calling him different variations of Bear, you know. And he enjoys that now, but he only likes it if I call him that. I said, is this okay if I call you that? Yeah, it's just, you know, at one point I called him Little Bear, and then there came the day where he told me, he said, Dad, I'm not Little Bear. I'm Big Bear. We were playing hide-and-go-seek one time in the house, and so I love playing hide-and-go-seek with these guys. It is so much fun. You know, I'm on a different level than they are, right? And a little smarter than them. I'm having too much fun. But they were yelling through the house one time, Big Gray, come out, Big Gray. I said, well, now, why would you call me that? Because your hair is gray. I'm like, listen, I got documented proof. My hair was not gray before you boys came. Can I tell you one more story? So we are traveling ministers, travel all over the country. And years ago, we were down in Florida, and they went to the children's class, and the lady there taught a lesson about David and Goliath. She had like a cardboard cutout of Goliath and then got a homemade sling. All the kids took turns. She had like a sock inside of a sock, and kids would sling it around and hit Goliath and knock him down. And don't you know, for the next 2 years, my boys were finding socks and stuffing things inside the sock. Come on, Dad, we're going to have to teach them, you know, what we put in the sock. It's got to be something soft. We're not putting golf balls in there. No. Came around the corner one time and they were doing that, and I kind of interrupted the story, and the older one said, Dad, come, you got to be Goliath. Dad, you got to be Goliath because you are so tall. It's the first time in my life anyone ever called me tall. That was a great day. Hold on, son, just a minute. Let me get your mother. Babe, come here. Babe, son, tell your mother what you just told me. All right. So my family's with me. We're having a great time. I want to tell you a story about traveling years ago. If you got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We're just going to continue on talking about how good God has been to us. Has God been good to you? Oh, specifically, God has been good to you through Jesus Christ. This is who we are. Today we want to talk about Jesus. We want to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that he would be the most seen, the most exalted. Hallelujah. And I remember traveling years ago. I don't know about your story, but I grew up halfway through my life, my parents were pastors, then my father passed away when I was 16 and turned into an orphan and didn't really realize that, but it just started to take on all those qualities, you know. So the orphan looks at life as just a place of lack. I didn't get that. I don't have that. And everywhere you go, you become an orphan. You just see lack everywhere. In fact, I would tell you that the minute my father passed away, the very minute, all of a sudden, the devil just started to come at me and just come at my expectations of life. You don't qualify for goodness. You don't qualify for that. You don't qualify for this. And he started to paint that picture as soon as my father passed away. He's not going to be there when you graduate high school. He's not going to be there if you get married. He's not going to be there for you to talk to. Just everything just started to come at me immediately. And I'm telling you, I just bought that whole story hook, line, and sinker. And it's just a miserable place to be in. Have you ever been in that spot? And I remember being in 16 in high school, and I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's next. And you feel like you're just a party killer everywhere you go. Have you ever been in that spot? Do you know somebody like that? You just walk in, and all of a sudden, everybody's just quiet. They don't know what to do. And I felt like I just had that identity. I'm this young man whose father passed away. And I knew that God was a healer. I knew that God had called me to the ministry, and I still pursued that. But even going into the ministry, I've been traveling now for over 20 years, I still had that position of lack, right? And so I remember being on the plane and flying on the plane where they come down on certain airlines and they're offering you snacks, but then a couple of airlines like want you to pay for it, right? I remember when the snacks were free, right? And now there's flights that you go on, you got to pay for this. And then they're charging you outrageous prices, right? And I remember being on those flights where they want to get you a $2.50 for a can of Coke. And I'm thinking to myself, $2.50? I can get a whole 12-pack at the Walmart for that. You're ripping me off. Right? That's how the orphan sees life, is just lack everywhere. And then they're selling you some chips, selling you M&Ms, right? $2.50 also for a box of M&Ms. And don't you know, that box is not even full. You know what I'm talking about. Box is like a third full. I'm paying for all this air. So for years, I'm on flights, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'd love a snack, but you're ripping me off. It's not right. I'm not paying for it. Until I got a revelation of the goodness of God. Until I saw the truth about Jesus Christ, something began to change in my life. Romans chapter 5. Have you opened up your Bibles? Do you have a physical Bible? Do you got an electronic Bible? Do you have the Bible memorized? How do you do this? Romans chapter 5. Let me read this for you. I've got the New King James. It says, Romans 5:15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more, everybody say much more. Say it again, say much more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. What does that mean? Sometimes in the King James, we're not really sure. I enjoy other translations. Do you like reading different translations? I enjoy reading that. So this verse just kind of grabbed my attention one time years ago. What does this mean? What are we doing? What is Paul talking about here? And so what Paul is, let's define a couple of terms. The free gift. The free gift, if we had time to read the entire chapter, we would see the free gift he's talking about is salvation. Yeah. Anybody in here, you pay for your salvation? No. Anybody? Anybody work hard one weekend? You did like all kinds of really good stuff and that's how you got your salvation? Anybody else, you got it from your grandparents? Kind of that birth rate. Where are you? Anybody in the crowd? No? No? How did you get salvation? You heard the story about Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the way, you realized, I need help. I need a Savior, right? And don't we kind of stay in that spot? I still need help. So Paul is saying the free gift is not like the offense. What is the offense? The offense is Adam's transgression in the garden. God creates man, puts him in the garden, gives him a job to do. Says, here's a tree, eat all you want from this. Stay away from this one tree. And we know the story. What do? Man, they go for the one tree. And immediately now, sin enters into the world. If you start to read in Genesis chapter 4 now, the Bible says this person lives so long and then they die. This person lives so long, they die. did not happen before the fall. So Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 5, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, don't you like how Paul understates that? No, everybody died. Because of sin, sin has impacted every single person. Many died. Much more, the grace of God and the gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So on a particular day, just kind of reading by myself, this verse jumped out at me. And now I understand that was the Holy Spirit that was leading me, kind of nudging me. What does that verse mean? So I've got a book with other translations, and I want to read a couple of these translations to you. Give you an idea of what Paul is talking about. What does he mean when he's talking about? I want to start with a Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase. He says, the single act of Adam and the single act of Christ are similar in that they affect everyone, but the effect is quite different. Paul is comparing, what did you lose because of sin? He's comparing that to what did you gain because of Jesus Christ. And he said they're only similar and that everyone is impacted. Oh, but the effect of Jesus is much different. Let me read another for you. The Locke paraphrase says, the gift is not conformed and confined to the dimensions of the damage received by Adam's fall. So this day, years ago, when I started to read this verse, you've got my attention now. Hold on a second. Let me read this. This is one of my favorites, the James Hudson. Adam is a type of the coming Savior. But what a difference. Justification surpasses Adam's transgression in the quantity of its effects. Adam's transgression brought sin, condemnation, universal death, but the free gift of justification and God's grace and Christ's kindness more than repairs this in blessing. Do you understand what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here? He's letting you know that sin has come and has impacted every single person. However, there is one more story you need to know about, and that is the story of Jesus Christ. And what he's telling you is that you cannot compare what you lost because of sin to what you gained in salvation. What you gained in salvation, he said, more than repairs what you lost because of sin. I started to read that. I'm like thinking to myself, now this is good. And I wanted a little bit more. The Weymouth paraphrase says, God's free gift immeasurably outweighs the transgression. Immeasurable. You know what that means? It means you can't count it. You can't keep track of it. Then the Lovett paraphrase says, the free gift that comes to us through Jesus Christ far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall. Far exceeds. I have good news for you today. What Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, his death, his burial, and resurrection has the potential to impact your life in a much greater way than any trouble you've ever been through. Anything wrong that's ever happened to you. So on this particular day, when I read this verse, I just started to think to myself, this is not how I viewed salvation. Now, I grew up in church. Anybody in here, you grew up in church, always in church as long as you can remember? That was me, right? Called to the ministry at the age of 6, and I knew about salvation, and yet going through life, I kind of viewed the trouble that I'd been through with greater weight than being born again. I know someday I'm going to heaven. God's good to me. But I held on to that story. You don't know the trouble that I've been through. My father passed away. And that orphan identity just stayed with me everywhere I went. I remember graduating high school, you know, going to Bible school. And when you come up in that environment, you just don't think you qualify for much. So the enemy's telling me, you know, you can't get a decent car. So, right? So I went and found a piece of junk. It was $500. And, you know, 30 years ago, $500, it still wasn't much. Just a terrible car, just an old, run down, beat up Chevy Chevette. It was embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. It's one of those cars you don't want to take out on a date. It's like that bad, like parked behind the Walmart kind of a car. No air conditioning, right? The hatch in the back doesn't latch down. I had to get a bungee strap to keep the car. I remember driving down the highway and I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I'm like, something's different. Oh, the hatch had sprung open, right? How embarrassing is that? I got pulled over one time, you know, officer saying, you know, you're going 70 miles an hour. I was like, sir, I don't think this car will go 70. You are welcome. Can you get this to 70? Please show me. Somebody show me this is going to 70. The enemy told me, he said, your father died and you don't qualify for much. Took me over 20 years to realize the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not care what has happened to you. He's trying to find something factual that happened in your life and connect low expectations. You don't qualify because of this and that. And I'm telling you that what Jesus did for you on the cross more than repairs. And I feel it resonating in the room the same way it resonated with me that first day. And then I felt impressed, right? Come on, the Holy Spirit is going to nudge you. The Word of God is going to lead you to do something. We don't have a spectator gospel. This is participant, right? You get up and you do something. And so the Word of God is alive. It is going to cause you to say something. And so when I said to myself that day, I didn't have a written list of what I lost when my father passed away, but I had a mental list. I knew what I was losing. And I said to myself that day, what Jesus did for me on the cross, more than repairs, everything I lost when my father passed away. And I said it again, what Jesus did for me on the cross, more than repairs, everything I lost when my father passed away. What Jesus did for me, and I said it again, and I said it again. Right, so there's something powerful. What we're talking about now is meditation. I mean, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate day and night. And I just began to meditate, began to mutter, began to say it out loud. Something powerful happens when you say it out loud. There's times where you got to say it louder than your own mind because the mind starts to go on tilt. What? That's not how I viewed salvation. No, what? That's possible. And I started to add a couple of those other paraphrases. What Jesus did for me far exceeds any damage. Far exceeds any damage. Far exceeds any damage. And I just kept saying it over and over. And I just kept muttering and mumbling to myself for 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, by the end of the 20 minutes, I'm kind of like walking with a little spring in the step. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And something happened at 20 minutes. Something happened. Changed my whole identity. I lost that identity. I literally felt like a chain on the inside snapped and broke on the inside. And I realized, I'm not that young man whose father passed away anymore. God has been so good to us through Jesus Christ. Something changed that day. It changed how I viewed my past, how I viewed the future, how I viewed who I was at the particular time. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to come into your life and reveal the story of Jesus, right? Jesus told the disciples, he said in John 16, he said, it's better for you if I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to take from what is mine. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to reveal to you. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he takes these words that you hear. Didn't you receive something fantastic from the worship this morning? Boy, I really enjoy that. Anybody feel like we just could have kept on going right there, right? And what the Holy Spirit wants to take is these experiences that we have in the church, and he wants to move that into your life. Some of you, you need, on the drive home today, you need to mutter to yourself the same verse, what Jesus did for me. Say it with me. Say, more than repairs.
More than repairs.
Say it again. Say, more than repairs.
More than repairs.
Some of you on the way home, You need to keep muttering this to yourself. Oh, more than repairs. More than repairs. More than repairs. And I found myself just saying it over and over and over again. Just driving down the road. God, you've been good to me. See, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The story of grace, the story of God's love is so great, you can't grasp it logically with the brain. 1 + 1 = 2. You can't memorize it. It's got to be revealed to you. But guess what the Holy Spirit does? He reveals things to us. This is who we are. And he revealed to me that day, you are my son. That's what God revealed to me that day. And I realized, you mean I can buy a can of Coke on the airplane? And so I remember that first time getting back on the plane, flying over the weekend. I've got an aisle seat. And I see that lady. I'm at the back of the plane, and I see her coming up the aisle, right? She's selling, you know, overpriced Pepsi, overpriced Candy. I see her coming, and the brain's like, not paying for that. And I'm like, no. Something on the inside of me is like, I'm a child of God. Today I'm buying a can of Coke, and I'm getting some M&Ms. Because God's been good to me. And I'm telling you, the most interesting thing happened. She finally got to my aisle. I was like so excited to finally blurt it out. Would you like anything? Yes, I would. I told her what I wanted, and then without thinking, there's an empty seat, there's a girl at the window, and without thinking, I said, and I'm buying whatever she wants too. See, there's something about the abundance of God, the grace of God is more than just for you. He wants to make you a carrier, you a deposit of his goodness. Your world is crying out for Jesus. So on the return flight home, 3 days later, I'm coming back. This time I'm sitting, my aisle is full, and my brain is like, now don't be offering to pay for everybody. My brain's like 5 × 3, 15, oh no. 45 minutes in, the lady comes up, what do you want? I said, I'm buying this, and I'm getting whatever this row wants. And something clicked in the whole row. Up to this point, 45 minutes, nobody had said anything. And when I said that, the whole row just started talking, and we just got to know each other, changed the whole conversation. And then 20 minutes later, the one lady said, I am absolutely terrified. I'm afraid of flying. See, these are things that didn't happen when I was so focused on lack, so focused on the trouble that I'd been through, so focused on just trying to get my own way. Man, abundance comes into your life. It's more, it's not just for you. See, there's a place of abundance. There's a place of grace. You have to receive from God. Because see, if you try to withhold receiving from God, it's because you're self-righteous and you're trying to earn it. See, I was that way. I grew up until that day. I'm telling you, I was self-righteous. Now, mind you, I'm a Bible school graduate. I'm working at the church. I'm volunteering at the church. But everything I was doing, I was competing against you. You didn't know that. Want to get into the ministry. So we're volunteering in the youth department, you know, and we're all competing to get on the stage and to have positions. And, you know, I'm doing games and skits and crowd breakers. And I had my team, and another team came up. Well, we want to do some stuff too. And you just wanted to bristle at them. What do you mean you want to do something? That's our area. Why don't you go work in the prayer room? Go work somewhere else. Right? I've got this job working for the church, setting things up, you know, and setting up luncheons and dinners. You know, sometimes 800, you know, 3,000 was the biggest luncheon that we did. So you need a big team of people. You're setting up 300 tables. And I've turned everything into a competition, right? It was just that there's a biblical term for this drive. It's called self-righteous. And the truth is when you're self-righteous, you're annoying to work with. I'm just going to be honest with you. who can carry the most chairs, right? We didn't think of that. In 30 years, I'm going to be 50. You know, wondering why I did all this. But I'm in my 20s. I could carry 12 chairs, you know. Two tables, one on each hand, you know, putting the table over my head. Even communion was a competition. We're setting up communion for 5,200 people, you know, once a month. And we're trying to see who could do the fastest number of cups. It was me. It was 2.2 cups per second. When you're doing 130 trays, you kind of got to get through the job, right? And I just had this drive, and I couldn't figure it out. So when I turned 40, I'm like, why am I so defensive? Well, if you challenged me on everything, I would just bow up and just buckle, right? I was the top youth volunteer. I know, because I kept track. Kept the roster of what everybody... Let me tell you how self-righteous I was. You're not going to believe this. So they're in Tulsa, their environment, they go with the school year. And there's a Bible school. So people are like brand new. They show up in September and it's all new people. It takes a couple months, you know, for new leaders to get acclimated. And they would have this big thank you dinner. So we're talking about 200, 250 volunteers. 200 volunteers, they take them out to dinner as a thank you at Christmas. And I refused to go because I was doing more work than anybody else. And I didn't think it was right for them to thank everyone else for the work that I was doing. I got my Bible school diploma. I'm called to preach. Until the day, self-righteous, and it started to break, the day when I realized God has been so good to me because of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Say more than repairs. Say it again. Say more than repairs. What Jesus did for you on the cross, more than repairs every single trouble you've been through. And that day, my pictures swapped places. See, up to that point, my father passing away, that was the mountain. You don't understand. My dad died. You don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. After a couple years, you don't tell people the story, but you remember on the inside. And I knew I was born again, but that was like little Jesus someday when we get to heaven. And that day that I marched around the house and I meditated, something powerful happens when you meditate on the Word of God. Would you consider changing what you're meditating about? You're already meditating all day long. How am I going to pay for the bills? Why are those people so crazy? What's wrong with my family? That neighbor's nuts. I should have the boss's job. You're already meditating on something. Would you consider meditating about Jesus Christ? And I meditated for 20 minutes, just intense, just marching around the house. Shorter than a 30-minute sitcom. 20 minutes. Some of you, maybe that's the ride to work. Mumble to yourself what Jesus did for me. And what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to give you a revelation. And you're going to realize something great happened on Easter. God has been so good to us. Say one more time. Say more than repairs. So what he does is he takes orphans. He turns them into sons and daughters. He turns sons and daughters into mothers and fathers. Right? And my father passed away in the month of April. So every year, that date coming around always had so much weight to it. It had a heaviness to it. Until the day, I'm telling you, until the day I got that revelation, God had been so good to me through Jesus Christ. Then next year, completely forgot about it. We sailed past, for the first time in 20 years, I sailed past it. And then I got married. Oh, he's been good to me. And then a couple of years in, we find out we're having a baby. The firstborn comes. Guess what month the firstborn came? Yeah, the same month. Month of April. The very month that for 20 years I tried to avoid. The very month that I thought for the rest of my life, now, for the rest of my life, I am planning parties and parties. More than repairs. Never dreamed it was possible to be that good. And it's this goodness now that helps me while I'm working with people. See, you need this story. You need this. Because there's going to come a time, right? We want you to get involved, right? Come clean with us. March 23rd. I'm going to be home, but come clean with us. Come get involved in the lobby. We need people in good areas. But there is going to come a time where you're going to get irritated with people. You're going to have the opportunity to get offended and just want to quit. How do you stay working with people? You got to keep reminding yourself, okay, it's all about Jesus, right? Sometimes, every time you come in to volunteer, sometimes you got to remind yourself, God, you've been good to me. Oh, you've been good to me. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. This is what unites us. This is what brings us together. It's the story of Jesus. You arrived to the story of Jesus different than I did, but he's done something good for me. So we need those opportunities when we're coming together and we're going to work together. Hold on a second. Come on, let's tell a good story about Jesus. What has Jesus done in somebody's life? While I'm working with you, I need to know how good he's been to you. You got to hear my story. And that's why I'm so excited this weekend to have my boys with me. There's something special when I'm bringing my boys with me. They are a physical representation of the goodness of God in my life. But it all starts with Jesus Christ. Do you know the story about Jesus? Have you ever been born again? Anybody in here? We're talking about all this goodness. The first goodness is accepting Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, do you believe the story? Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He came to die on the cross for your sins. God put your punishment on Jesus. Do you believe that? God raised him from the dead. He's alive today. You can accept forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, will you take one more step? Will you confess that? Anybody in here, you've never been born again? Hallelujah. Everyone in the room, let's just bow your heads. Won't you say this after me? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never been born again, say this after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, come before you today. Thank you for Jesus. I need a Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. I believe you raised him from the dead. He's alive today. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you're now my Father. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me. In Jesus' name, amen.